Welcome to Sister Speak Big Brother 11, where we discuss the current season of Big Brother from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 3. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's been a very interesting week again in the Big Brother house.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our second time this season of Jesse being HOH.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Well, I don't like it either. And I really didn't like the fact that it's the same old, where one side's always got the power.
Yep.
And the other side's getting picked off one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is what we kind of had this week again, too.
That's true. And he's doing the same stuff. He's in the room and he's sitting there telling Natalie, who I can't stomach, well, I'm surprised, you know, so-and-so hasn't come up and talked to me. I'm surprised so-and-so hasn't come up and talked to me. You know, that's getting old.
Yes. Well, we start out the week with trying to find out who Jesse's going to nominate. Natalie and Russell want to know, is he still going to nominate Ronnie?
Mm-hmm.
Or is he, you know, they just want to find out what he's thinking. And Jesse lets it known he's going to nominate this week based on what he wants to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Which I think kind of surprised them a little bit.
Well, what he does is he hum-haws around when people come specifically and ask him, are you putting Ronnie up like you said? And he never ever says to anybody, I'm not putting Ronnie up, except for Shima and Natalie. Those are the only two that he actually verbally says, I'm not putting Ronnie up. The other ones, he does this little double speak stuff.
Well, he kind of did that to Shima also, where he was saying, well, who do you really think that Ronnie is coming after you right next
yeah.
week?
He did that to Kevin.
He
too.
Says, don't you think Casey's a bigger target? And he kind of goes into some stories about what he's heard Casey say.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, to try to get people on his side to vote him out. And Shima, who he talks to, I think, first about all this, besides Natalie, mm-hmm. she agrees, yes, you know, Casey would be better for me to have out of the house before Ronnie, since Ronnie's on my clique.
That's true. And also, Ronnie, or I think it's Ronnie is the person who is telling Jesse that Russell is going around bad-mouthing Jesse. Ronnie's the one who's doing that, saying that Russell has said he's going to come after you. I think.
I haven't seen that at all.
Yeah, so there, because Ronnie's trying to throw suspicion off of himself.
Right.
To anyone else that he can do. But
well, Ronnie keeps telling Jesse he never lied to him or Natalie.
Right, and he lies to everybody.
Right.
But both Shima and Michelle did tell Jesse that they want Casey nominated or backdoored.
Natalie and Shima.
Yeah.
Natalie, Michelle.
Well, right, because Shima wants Michelle and Casey nominated, but Jesse lets them know that he's gonna not. His plan is to nominate two pawns, so therefore, if one of them wins the HOH by mistake or something, then he wants to backdoor Casey. So he wants to. What his plan is, he wants to nominate two pawns. And then whoever wins the HOH, because he's thinking it's going to be one of his alliance or crew people, then they'll use it to take off one of the pawns so they can backdoor Casey.
But he doesn't mention all that before he nominates.
He mentions that to Natalie. Yes, he does.
Oh,
they
yes.
have a whole long conversation about it on the After Dark.
But not to Shima.
No. Not to Shima. But him and Natalie talk a lot on the After Darks. And, you know, the thing I noticed is right after the Jesse wins the HOH and, you know, they see his room and all that stuff, everybody basically ignores Ronnie. They're ignoring Ronnie
for
that very first evening. And, you know, so Ronnie's reading his Bible and this, that, and the other. And Natalie is the one that, you know, goes to Ronnie and says, look, everybody's outside in the backyard. You're in here. You need to go out there and interact with these people. And so Ronnie looks at her and says, okay, but, you know, are you telling me that I'm safe? She says, you are not going to be nominated and you're not going to be backdoored. So you need to go out there and make the effort, you know. So Ronnie does go outside and, you know, rather, you know, sometimes when you go around the people, they stop talking. Or rather than do that, then nobody talked to him.
Well, I think people were still mad about the fight they had the previous week.
Yeah, they were.
And they're all still assuming that the plan is still in. The plan is still intact that they're gonna backdoor him.
Now, one thing I don't get is, I do know that Lydia and Natalie had a big old fight. They had a big old blowout fight argument about where Lydia's gonna sleep. And so I'm not quite clear why there has to always be this bed juggling.
Because there's always a different have-not.
Okay, so it has to do with the have-not thing and right. not who's and HOH. If you're okay. Not in the have so I wasn't getting that. Okay.
If you're not in the have-not room, you don't. That room doesn't get used. So that's three beds or two beds, I guess, that aren't being used.
I got it. Okay.
And then there's always somebody moving to the HOH. So
that's right, because they're calling it have and have-nots. And the have-nots are the people on slop or, you know, whatever Americans voting for them to eat. Plus the slop. So, okay. Because in their conversations, I just wasn't putting that together. So, yeah, Lydia and Natalie had a whole big old blowout. And, you know, they're both so jealous of each other. It's just ridiculous.
They are.
It's just ridiculous. And over Jesse, of all things? Uh-uh. Mm-mm.
Well, the one thing that I noticed is, you know, during this time when people are trying to figure out where Jesse's head is at, Michelle decides to go up and talk to Jesse about his nominations and try to plead her case so that she doesn't get nominated. And she's so awkward.
She is awkward.
Anyway, she's not a good liar or I don't know if she realizes how much her face talks for her. So while she's sitting there talking to him, she looks uneasy. She looks nervous.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking her point blank, and Natalie, of course, is there too. Point blank, if you win HOH next week, will you put me or Natalie up? And she just hems and haws. She never comes out and says, no, I will not. She could lie. Just put her hands behind her back, cross her fingers,
whatever.
And go. She never does that. She's like, well, you know, I will take into consideration the fact that you did not send me out the door. And that I'm not a target, that I wasn't a target before. So, you know, I really appreciate that. But, yes, I'll definitely take that into consideration when I make my decision. I mean, why don't she just come out and say.
I don't like her.
And, of course, Jesse's not fooled. He's like, you know, she doesn't even know how to play this game.
Yeah, I don't like her. And there are several people in the house who make comments that they don't like her either. You know, and people in the house make comments about how she's so awkward and socially awkward. And according to Russell, anyway, what Russell told Jesse said that she makes him feel uncomfortable because she's always telling him she's horny. And he's trying to figure out why she's telling me, why she's having this conversation around me, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's just, I think, kind of socially awkward. Where, you know, she probably just doesn't know how to just sit and chit-chat. You know what I mean? Like, some people are just good. Like, Shima and Jordan, they're just good at chit-chatting. Natalie is not, and Michelle is not. Because Natalie is usually talking to other people only when she's trying to get some information or accuse somebody of something. But just to chit-chat, she really doesn't do that. Where, see, and that's what I like about Jeff, too, because Jeff, he talks a lot of game and stuff, but he knows how to just chit-chat with people.
Right, not talk games.
Yeah,
just
he knows how to put that stuff aside and just, you know, be chit-chatting. So I like Jeff anyway, so.
So before we get to the nominations, they do a have and have not competition.
Yep.
Where it's decided that only one member from each clique is able to play, besides the HOH clique, which is the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They get to stay on the side and have a little keg party while all of the other cliques, which is, they have Shima, for the brains, Kevin for the offbeats, and Jordan, she's the lone popular left, so she has to do it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, do the Big Brother keg race, which was pretty cool.
It was cute.
They all got on these little motorized scooters that were basically supposed to be beer kegs, and they had to put on beer goggles, so they couldn't see very well.
It distorted their...
Right. And they had to grab giant foam ice cubes and throw them into a big into a rotating cup of the other player's team, which was a pretty cute competition.
It was cute.
But I could see where they could, and Kevin was so smart about it. He was like, you know, I'm trying to knock some stuff out of mine and get it into someone else's.
Yeah.
And no one seemed to think about that.
Yeah, until they saw him do it twice. And then they started, but time was running out. Yeah. So.
And then they had foam shooting out at him, so...
Yeah, it was real cute.
That was very cute. Yeah. So it got down to Kevin and Shima's team, and the brains ended up being the ones who lost, going on to the... going to be the have-nots for the second time in 3 weeks.
Yep.
Or 4 weeks, basically. Almost 4 weeks. They all took it pretty well, I thought. I mean, they were... They didn't want to do it, but they didn't all just complain. Like, I thought they would be like, oh, hell.
Well, they're probably getting used to it.
Then they go into the house, and they see America's Vote voted for them to have sauerkraut.
No, it's not sauerkraut. It's cabbage.
That's right. Cabbage and cocktail weenies. Which, to me, was the most appetizing of the three choices.
Yeah, I mean, I voted for the cabbage and the cocktail weenies.
I just wouldn't eat the cabbage. I would just eat the cocktail weenies.
Well, that's what Shima did, because she doesn't eat hot dogs.
She just ate the cabbage.
Right. She does not eat hot dogs, so yeah. She just eats the cabbage, but Ronnie was elated because he says those cocktail weenies is one of his favorite foods.
Those suckers are pretty good, especially with some barbecue sauce.
Well, yeah, but... Not all week.
No, I don't think. But the thing is, it's better than flop all week.
That's true.
It was at least some meat, even if it's processed.
But then after that, the same day is the nomination ceremony.
Yes.
That was good.
Yes. And that's when people started thinking, huh, well, I think everybody knew from their conversation last week or thought that they were going to try to backdoor Ronnie because they didn't want him to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were not going to nominate him so that he would not have a chance to play in the veto.
Well, everybody who was on Jesse's little supposed crew, like Shima and Natalie and...
Lydia, Kevin.
Yeah, Lydia, Kevin. They knew, but the other people didn't. And they was real surprised by the nominations.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, but... So he nominated Michelle and Jordan. Poor Jordan.
I know. Poor Jordan.
You know, I don't particularly care for her only because I get tired of that little dumb blonde stuff. But I have to say, though, I feel bad for her because, you know, they need to quit using her for a pawn and just let her be and have a week where she can play the game. You know? I mean, come on now. They need to leave her alone.
I agree.
Yeah. But
and why are they keep... Okay, this is my thing, too. Because even if, I mean, I know that Jesse had an ulterior plan.
True.
But, and so, I guess that's his excuse, but even still, just put up the people that you want to put up. But they're trying to strategize and say, well, we don't want to give them the chance to win that.
Well, backdooring is better because then you don't give the person that you really want to go a chance to win the POV.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, but, you know, they were kind of sad and everything.
So Michelle and Jordan they say, well, we understand that we're not the targets, but it still doesn't feel good to be up
here. Because Jesse did, before the nominations, though, Jesse did have a conversation with them, like, down in one of those rooms, like the spa room or one of them rooms, that that they were not the target, that this is when he had the conversation in the HOH room with Michelle. And he let Michelle know that he would nominate her, but she was a pawn. She was not the target that he wanted to backdoor Casey. And Michelle didn't say anything, but later she's wondering, well, how come he wasn't going to backdoor Ronnie because she didn't even know he was after Casey.
But he didn't actually come out and say Casey's name. He just kept saying, I really don't find that Ronnie should, I really don't think Ronnie should be the target.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he kept saying. So she kind of narrowed it down. Well, I'm already on, you know, she narrowed it down.
Well, you know, so they're kind of just, you know.
But they still are thinking that Ronnie's the target.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are. But
some of them. Yeah. But most of the people
the
know.
Other ones know. You know. Now, on the After Darks that day, after the nomination, so, you know, the camera on the After Darks, they spent a whole lot of time focused on Shima and Russell. They were laying in the bed, flirting with each other under a blanket. Mm-hmm. And Jordan and Jeff was in the other bed. You know, and they would be some cross-talking every now and then. But so I guess, you know, the camera was just trying to show, okay, here's a couple over here and here's a couple over here. Now, when you watch the broadcast shows, you would never, ever know that Shima and Russell are with each other so much. They're with each other a lot in that house, you know, even when they're like, you know, just sitting in the kitchen interacting with other people. But Shima's... I guess issue is she mentions to Russell, like, it seems to me, more times than is necessary. Well, but I'm like 7 years older than you, you know, so.
She's got a complex.
Yeah, she must have a complex though. But anyway, they, on the After Darks too, they also show Jesse and Lydia a lot up in that HOH room. And they're having some kind of sexual activity.
Right.
Because they build this little tent out of their little blankets and they get under it. And you know, I'm sorry, but I get tired of hearing Lydia do this baby voice.
Yeah, that's awful.
Oh, it is annoying.
Well,
you know?
if we go back to the broadcast episode on Tuesday, which was the Power of Veto episode,
mm-hmm.
They kind of show a little bit of more of Natalie and Lydia kind of eyeballing each other.
They are so jealous of one another. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's just silly.
And Jesse tries to pretend like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but you know what? He nurtures that crap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then they also showed, there was one night, and I don't remember what actual night it was, where they all played Truth or Dare.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but most of the house guests.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And they were having fun and just laughing, and it was a really fun, I actually watched that one on the After Dark, and it was a really fun episode to watch. I was cracking up the whole time. but they were just all making up stuff to either Truth or Dare each other. Everyone was picking truth, and Natalie kept saying, that is so boring. You guys are just boring.
Then
we need to do some dares.
Then they started doing the dares.
And they said, we just need to have a dare round. And so they made up dares for everyone. Now, on CBS, they only showed a couple of them, which were funny, but there were some more.
Natalie's was the worst, I think.
I don't know if it was worse.
She had to moon somebody coming out of the diary room, and that somebody happened to be Lydia.
They knew Lydia was in there.
Oh, she already knew Lydia was in there.
They knew she was
so
in there.
So here she is, pulling her pants down, showing her butt to Lydia. And, you know, Lydia just looked at her like,
The funniest part was the fact that Lydia came out and just kept walking, no change in her
expression. She looked at her and said, so I see your badge. And she went right on.
She didn't say that then. No, she said it later. But it was just funny.
It was so funny.
It was funny. And
but Kevin's was good, too.
Yeah, they had Kevin going up and he had to cuddle with Jesse for 10 seconds.
But Jesse was asleep in the bed.
Right. And the funny part was on the After Dark, he actually was in the bed with him for a good minute or two. And then they finally, he kept saying, is this enough? Is this enough? And Natalie came up and put his, you know, what they showed on the broadcast, which was really funny. And later on, just, you know, he looked mad at the time because he was half asleep. But later on, he was cracking up. So he goes, you know, it happened so quick. And Kevin was running out of the room so fast, he didn't even have a chance to see what was going on.
Well, but that was the whole dare. He had to do it while Jesse was asleep. That was the whole thing.
Right. I'm telling you, though, what his reaction was later.
Okay.
And then they had Michelle, they had her go lay with Jeff. Because they saw Jordan go up and go to bed, and Jeff was in the sauna or the workout room.
Oh, yeah.
Or sauna room, whatever they call that. And they had Michelle go lay with Jeff, and Jeff, of course, figured it out.
You're right.
That they were playing truth or dare, and it was just a really funny...
Well, but the worst one was Ronnie. They made him go hug Casey.
No, everyone agreed, because Ronnie kept saying, I can't do anything to embarrass myself or jeopardize my job. And so they finally, you know, were thinking, and they said, well, why don't you go, you have to go and hug Casey for 10 seconds. And he's like, he's going to punch me out. I'm not going to be able to do it. And they said, well, you're going to have to make up something to get him to do it. So that's when he said, okay, I'll tell him I'm apologizing. And
Casey was mad, though.
He was hot.
He was mad.
He was
And then
hot.
Shima had to lick Russell's fingers, and Russell had to lick Shima's neck. So Russell went to the kitchen and got some Cool Whip and put it on Shima's neck and was licking it off her neck.
Yeah,
but they never did show Shima licking his fingers,
and
though.
She got honey and poured it on his fingers.
Yeah, or something like that. So
it was all pretty
They
funny.
Was real bored, though, to be thinking of that stuff.
It was nice to see them all having fun and get along for a change.
They were all getting along.
So then we go on to picking players for the veto competition.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
Jesse's whole thing was, we don't want Casey. We don't want Casey. And guess what? Michelle picks Casey. Out of the bag.
That's the way it goes, though. You know.
Yep.
That's the way it goes.
So this was a pretty cool competition. And
I like that.
I want to know how long it took them to create this scene in the backyard. The wind pigs fly.
Well, you know, a lot of times they have indoor lockdown or outdoor lockdown, and that's when they're doing this stuff. So they were locked down for several hours that day while they was building that stuff outside, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm just saying they put a lot of work in.
But it looked like real mud. But they said it, or Natalie was saying it wasn't real mud, but it stink like real, like fertilizer type mud. But it wasn't. So
they had Shima, Jesse, Michelle, Casey, Jeff, and Jordan all playing for the veto. And they all had to put on pink jumpsuits and little pig noses. and they had a rope. They had to swing over to the mud pit, dig out truffles with a number on it, or a prize, and the player with the highest number at the end would win, which is a pretty good competition. The thing that was tricky was you had to either throw your number away or keep it, or your prize, and then at the end, you got to pick an envelope that could help you or could hurt you, and so you just had to take that risk. And it got all the way down to where Jesse was in the lead, remember that? And then Michelle ended up winning. Which I was okay with, because I wanted one of them to get off so that whatever his plan, you know, could happen.
I just think it is so iffy not a coincidence that for the last 2 weeks, the people who are up on the block win the POV. That's just so boring, you know? Because when she won, and of course, yes, it does look like, you know, that everything was just all, you know, on the up and up. But I don't know. I was just so fishy with it that, oh, yeah, she won because she's on the block. You know, like last week, Jeff won.
Yeah.
Because he was on the block. You know, that I'm suspicious. I'm suspicious. I really am.
I don't know. There's not.
Yeah. I don't like that. Yeah. So I think that was a little manipulation there by BB production.
I don't know how they could have done that.
Well, of course they could have done it. They could have told Casey, well, you know, if you get a prize, you need to take the prize. Because it was either Kevin or somebody said that Michelle, she one of the truffles that she drew had a plasma screen TV on it. She threw it back because, of course, she's wanting the numbers, see.
Casey's was stupid because he thought he was safe.
That's
why
true.
He did it. I don't see how it could that particular one could have been a manipulation, but they all had to pick and choose what they kept.
That's true. But I'm just saying, for me, it is more than a coincidence that for 2 weeks now the person who's up on the block just all of a sudden wins the POV when they haven't been winning nothing else.
Well.
So anyway, that's my opinion. But as you pointed out, Casey took this margarita party on one of his truffles, but he also picked the envelope. And he thought the envelope was saying the Bahamas, but what it said was, you got to wear a banana suit all week. So he had to wear a banana suit all
week. And that really wasn't a whole suit.
Nah, it was just a top hat.
They could have had the whole leotard thing.
They should have had the whole thing. Jesse won $2,500, too, in his envelope, because he took an envelope also.
That was one of, no, his envelope had points. One of his truffles had $2,500.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So.
Okay.
But, so, of course, we know that Michelle's going to take herself off the block.
Well, of course.
Which anyone would be dumb not to. And this is when, and this is the other thing I wanted to say. This season in particular, everybody's plans, they tell everyone about the plan. Mm-hmm. And then it all gets back to the person it's going to happen to. So everyone's talking about the plan. It's probably not to get Ronnie now, it's to get Casey. Mm-hmm. And it all gets back to Casey, and he gets upset and goes straight up to Jesse to ask him, what the heck's going on? Who are you going to put up?
Well, something else that happened before they had the actual POV ceremony was Sunday, it was Chima's birthday. Mm-hmm. So Big Brother did let him have a birthday party. Natalie made cupcakes, and they had streamers. They had other snacks and stuff. And Big Brother took Chima off of a slot for 1 hour on her birthday so she could eat some cake and stuff, which I thought was kind of nice.
That was nice.
You know,
they usually don't do that.
Yeah, they usually don't do that stuff. So at least, you know, she got to eat and everything. And then it was after that that they start, you know, plotting, or Jesse starts with this, well, you know, I'm going to do this, excuse me, instead of this. And Jeff, I forget who tells Jeff. Does Jesse?
Jordan does.
Jordan.
She hears Lydia and Michelle talking because Michelle figured it out.
And Jordan tells Jeff. Jeff tells Casey. So Casey goes and confronts Jesse. Which I thought was not a good idea. But
well, I mean, what's he going to do?
Yeah,
he's trying to intimidate Jesse and tell him you're going to have a target on your back if you don't. And
yeah,
so, I mean, it's a last-ditch effort. You have to do what you can do. It just didn't work because Jesse's not going to be swayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but my thing was, what was that little rhyme that just Jesse said during the nomination? It didn't even make sense.
That's what, yeah, I don't know. I think he was trying to be
cute. But it wasn't cute.
No, because it didn't make sense.
Normally, he's just straight into the point, which is what, the one thing I did like about him.
Yeah.
Excuse me, and then he was doing this rhyme, and then move your feet, get on in the seat. Oh,
yeah,
stupid.
It was real dumb. Okay, after the POV ceremony, Michelle goes and tells, Chima and Ronnie that Lydia and Kevin approached her about forming an alliance with Jeff and Jordan. And see, what happened earlier that day is, it is true, Lydia and Kevin went to Jeff and Jordan and Michelle and says, you know, we need to form an alliance to get the athletes out. But it was really Lydia's idea and, you know, to come up with it and all that kind of stuff. Ronnie immediately says, oh, we got to go. Ronnie takes Michelle up to the HOH room and has her repeat that whole story to Natalie. Well, while they're talking, then Jesse comes in. So she got it. Michelle has to repeat it again.
Right.
So now they all know and they are mad.
Why would Michelle tell that?
I don't know, but right after Michelle tells it to Natalie, Natalie says something to the effect that, oh, thanks for telling us, Michelle, you're now a part of our team. That's what Natalie says
okay.
to her.
Well, but my thing is, Michelle is stupid. That was her clue to play both sides.
Yeah, well, but we've already...
I know, she's not playing right. But, I mean, why would you tell that knowing... I mean, not knowing what's going to happen next week, who's going to have the power.
I'm going to tell you why, and that's because people who are not really socially adept, they say things in order to have something to say to
that's
you.
That's true. You're right.
And so this is something that she knew. Yeah, everybody knows people like that. This is something that she knew that they would be able to talk with her.
About.
And when Ronnie took her up to the HOH, I mean, she didn't have to go. But she was more than happy to go and
my thing
repeat
is why it. Would she say it in front of Ronnie? To I mean, I don't get that at all.
I know, but that's what she did. Anyway, so now they all agree, all of them, Michelle, Shima, Ronnie, Jesse, and Natalie agree that if any of them get HOH, they putting up Kevin and Lydia.
Ooh.
See, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a mess. Now, the next day, Jesse confronts Lydia about the conversation. And, of course, Lydia totally throws Kevin under the bus. It was Kevin's idea. Ooh. Kevin used a chess analogy saying you get rid of the queen like you do in chess, and the king would just fall apart. Meaning if you take out Natalie, Jesse's just going to fall apart. That's what Lydia is saying to Jesse.
Is that true? Because
no, that's what Lydia was telling Kevin.
But Lydia doesn't play chess.
Well, but hey, she knew them analogies.
And
Kevin may have said the analogies. Oh, you mean like the queen? And Lydia, yeah, you know.
Okay.
So, but Lydia is the one that brought that whole idea to Kevin. And then,
and
of course,
she's telling all this to Jesse.
She's telling it all to Jesse. Okay. Now, Jesse, oh, this is just awful. Jesse says, you know what? He is so glad that she told him. And Jesse assures Lydia that if Lydia and Natalie were up on the block at the same time, he would vote Natalie out. And then Jesse,
he's lying.
And then, of course he is. And then Jesse assures Lydia that he wants to be in the final two with her. Oh, it was sickening to watch him do that. Okay. So now, but this is where the jealousy comes in. Natalie demands to know what Jesse was talking to Lydia about. Mm. Oh, she's a mess.
And he tells her?
Jesse tells her.
Except for the, I want to take you to the final.
Exactly. Yeah. He didn't tell her that. And so Lydia wants to confront Kevin. Because how can Kevin want to take me
Natalie?
Out? Natalie wants to confront Kevin. Of course, Jesse doesn't want her to do that. Because
he shouldn't have told her.
He does not want. He says, oh, great, then Lydia will know that I told you, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Then Shima comes in the room. She gets in it, and she just calmly tells Natalie, you know what, you really should not be confronting anyone, because why do you want to let them know that you even know? You're giving away your power. And she's trying to explain that to Natalie. And, of course, Natalie's so hot-headed. Well, okay. Well, as soon as she leaves the HOH room, Natalie goes down. Kevin is in the shower, taking a shower, and she confronts him.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's trying to say that I heard this 2 days ago, so he won't know that she just found out about it, because then Lydia will put it together. Wait a minute. I stayed up almost all night talking to Jesse while everybody else was asleep. And, you know, and so that's what she's trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But then after she, and of course, Kevin, where are you getting this from? No. He said, now, I'm not going to lie. I did say that I would like to target the athletes. He says, but not you and Jesse. He said, I meant Jeff and
Russell.
He said, why would I want to get out the very two people who have protected me all this time? Now, you know, Natalie had to be thinking. And of course, Shima had already told Natalie up in the HOH room.
Yeah.
This sounded like Lydia to me. I don't think Kevin probably started this, but you know, I mean, you know, he may have, but she's telling Jesse. I don't think it's Kevin.
Well,
Jesse already knew it wasn't. I mean, Jesse heard what Lydia said, but in his mind, he know Lydia's just doing that. But Jesse's trying to protect Lydia. So he's telling Shima and Natalie, well, you know, Kevin is...
He doesn't know that.
Kevin.
He doesn't think that... He thinks that he's got... No, I disagree there. He does not think that Lydia came up with that.
Well...
He thinks he's got Lydia wrapped
right.
up.
And he thinks Kevin is this little mastermind because Kevin plays chess and Kevin, you know, knows all this stuff.
Do they get mad that Natalie...
Oh, yes. When Natalie goes back up to the HOH room, Jesse is either in the bathroom or something. So she tells Shima, and Shima, girl, dang, why did you do that? You know, blah, blah, blah. Jesse comes into the room, and so Natalie tells him what her conversation with Kevin. Jesse blows. He says, why did you do that? Now Lydia's going to know that I'm the one who told you.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Oh, he was.
He needs to quit telling her that shit.
He was not happy.
He already should know how she is.
It gets better, though. Then later on that day, Natalie confronts Lydia.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
About the same story?
About the exact same thing. Why is Lydia and Kevin targeting her? And Lydia said, I'm not coming after you. It was totally Kevin. It was his whole idea. She throws him way up under the bus and rolls again.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's awful. It's really awful. And then later on, Lydia tells Jeff and Jordan that Michelle was the person who told Natalie that they were gunning for him. Now, she know good and well it was Jesse who told.
Now, I understand they don't like Michelle, but they are really jacking Michelle.
They accuse Michelle of everything.
I know.
Everything. And she didn't do it.
And she didn't do it.
She didn't do it this time, no. I mean, she kind of told their conversation, but...
Jordan and... Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, she didn't... She wasn't the one... She wasn't Kevin and Lydia who started it. She was just repeating what they were saying to her.
Now, she did tell that Jordan and them are trying to get her in an alliance, which is bad enough.
And in the middle of all this fighting, they all get brand new athletic shoes. So everybody's talking about, the next HOH is going to be endurance, I bet you, because they all got brand new athletic shoes. So, you know. But I'm telling you, these people can argue off of nothing.
Yep.
Off of nothing. And, you know, up until we have the live eviction show, they're just like back and forth with, you know, this one talking to this one. And Casey's around there grumbling, trying to stir stuff up because, you know, he kind of figures he's going out. But you know what, though? I have to say that Casey says some questionable stuff. Let me see. I wrote down some stuff in my notes somewhere, and because I wanted to repeat this stuff that he is saying to Jeff. It is just awful, in my opinion. You know, Casey has said some really shady stuff. You know, there's a conversation where Casey and Jeff were in the backyard, and they were talking because, you know, Casey was smoking a lot. And Casey said that while Jeff is still in the game, playing the game, he said, I'll be home watching you, effing my wife. And then he says, effing my hot wife while Ronnie is getting letters from his fat wife.
Oh.
Now, ain't that awful?
That is awful.
And then.
But he was mad.
Well, but, I mean, he didn't say it in a mad way. Jeff looked kind of uncomfortable. And then he says to Jeff, you know, Jeff, when I was your age, I was flying all over the country, sleeping with girls. And if Jeff comes to visit him, wherever Casey lives, he can get Jeff a hookup for a booty call.
What?
That's what he said!
What is he talking about all that for?
I don't know! Jeff seems so uncomfortable sitting there on the couch.
That's weird.
I'm saying, oh, you know what, old man? You need to go. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, I understand people get mad and you say stuff. But you don't ever need to go and talk about somebody's family like
that. No. Just because you're mad at Ronnie, you don't have to say disparaging things about his wife.
And he really should have been mad at Jesse.
Yeah.
Which he was.
But wait till he watched the tapes, though. He's going to know. You know, he is definitely going to know.
Ronnie
and Casey, though, have a big, loud fight. They have a big, huge fight about... And in the fight, though, Ronnie did get kind of personal because he's saying stuff like, you know, you're a teacher and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You smoke all the time. You cuss. You talk about, you know, sex and you know, sex and women all the time. He says, you know, what kind of teacher can you be?
But, I mean, being a teacher doesn't mean you're not a person.
Well, that's what Casey tried to tell him. He said, I'm a teacher in the daytime. He says, you know, at night, he says, I go to clubs and stuff because that's my personal time. He said, they don't know what I do at night. He said, that has nothing to do with my teaching. Oh, they had a big old argument.
Cussing and doing all that don't have nothing to be, as long as you ain't cussing in class.
I tell you who cusses a lot that I have been shocked.
Who?
That's Jeff. Man, everything is F this, F that.
You know.
I mean, I do like Jeff, though, but dang, he cusses a lot.
Well, I cuss a lot.
Yeah, you do, but I don't, but. Okay.
So we do know that Casey is of course trying to save himself.
Yes.
So he starts having conversations. Excuse me. He starts having conversations with Kevin about, you know, you need to think about what is really going to happen when, because you guys aren't, no one's trying to get the athletes out.
Yeah.
No one's trying to stand up and put any of the power players up.
That's true.
And that if he gets to stay in the game, he's definitely going to try and put the big players up. And, mm-hmm. and he's talking to Kevin about trying to get his vote. And Kevin says, well, if you can get, you need to have at least 5 votes or, you know, so if you can get some more votes, Kevin suggests that he talk to Russell and that if he talks to him about the game part of it, he can get him.
Yeah.
Which was actually a pretty smart thing.
I think that was pretty smart.
Now, the thing that I found funny about that conversation that he does have with Russell mm-hmm. is, you know, he says, well, you know, Russell, you're number 4 in that alliance. Mm-hmm. And Russell's looking at him like, what? No, I'm 2.
That was a good that one. Was so they funny. Was in the backyard, yeah, on yeah. the couch.
And Casey's like, you think so? He's like, really? Do you think Jesse is going to pick you over Natalie?
Uh-huh.
Do you really think that? And Russell just kind of sits there and thinks. And but then this is Russell's argument on everything. He said this about 5 to 10 times since he's been there. In there. Well, what has she won? I've won. I'm the one who's won so-and-so competition, so-and-so mini competitions.
Well, but that's that but, male ego showing,
but he doesn't realize
know.
That is why you would be the one to go out over her.
Exactly.
Duh.
Yeah.
Dude. But he's so caught up into what he's done and how good he is.
Right.
That he can't even realize that he's bragging on the very thing that's going to want make people want to get him out.
Make them want to get him out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
he thinks about, you know, I knew, though, as he's thinking about it, I'm like, he's not going to get it together enough to be able to do that.
I was glad that Kevin talked to Casey and Kevin told him, well, look, if you can round up the votes, I will definitely vote to keep you in. But I'm not going to stick my neck out, you know, unless you got the votes, which I thought that was a good way to do it.
It was.
Yeah, because you can respect that because that's gameplay, see. So then we get to eviction day.
Yes.
Ooh-wee.
Now, during the CBS show,
you know,
they show different parts of what has gone on. Julie talks to the house guests, and she shows the veto competition with Michelle, which is funny. But then she talks to Lydia and Natalie about their disagreements. And, you know, she keeps asking question after question about what was the fight about? Was it really about beds? And, of course, they're trying to be slick and say, oh, no, you know. Yeah, that was all it was about.
That's what Natalie said. Like,
they show Jesse's face. He's looking all crazy and uncomfortable. But, I mean, she keeps asking question. I'm like, okay, Julie, ask someone else the question.
I know.
Get off of that subject. But, of course, that's what they want to know.
But that's what the public wants to know. I just want to say that whoever is dressing Julie Chen this year is really doing a good job. She looked so cute, I thought.
She did.
That was a very lovely lavender outfit, and she just looked so glowing and comfortable.
No, she didn't look comfortable to me.
Yeah, she looked comfortable to me.
She did not look comfortable. When they showed her from the side is when you really got to see how big she is, because Julie is a little woman.
She's
and
very small.
I kind of noticed, you know how she always sits down and she gets up and walks towards the camera?
Mm-hmm.
And I always see her, I mean, you can always tell her legs and her pants are real skinny legs. But yesterday, they were not looking skinny. I'm like, does she have twins or triplets?
Because I thought she looked so cute.
She did look cute, but what I'm saying is she looked big. And, like, she felt, she just seemed like she was uncomfortable.
Oh, she looked comfortable to me. But anyway, so, you know, yeah, her questions and repeatedly to Lydia and Natalie were getting a little annoying. I mean, ask 2 or 3, you know, like 2 questions, fine, and then move on.
Right, and then when she went on to talk to the HOH Jesse, all she asked, like, 5 to 6 questions all about Lydia and Natalie. And I'm thinking, you know, there's more interesting things you could ask about, like,
That's true.
You know, why are you actually trusting Ronnie, or what's making you trust Ronnie?
Or
when you know he's been caught lying, or...
Or if she's going to just exclusively ask Jesse privately in the HOH room, so nobody can hear, you know, but the audience, of course, about Lydia and Natalie, then she should have asked him, okay, how come you say you really like Natalie, but you're having sex with Lydia? You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, ask something that we really want to know.
Yeah.
And not that little, if you were on a desert island, which would you want to be with, Lydia or Natalie?
That was stupid.
Oh, that was so silly.
I hope you know, she wasn't the one who wrote that question.
I don't think so.
That was just terrible. No. And I was just yelling at the TV, are you serious? Are you seriously wasting this 5 minutes asking him questions about, and Jesse's dumbass, oh, I don't know, Julie. I really couldn't say. They both have qualities that I like.
And then she says, well, now, do you think they're just playing you? And he says, well, I would kind of like to think, I hope not, but, you know, you never know. I'm thinking, you certainly can't be dumb enough to think that they're serious about you.
I think Lydia is, because Lydia is crazy.
Oh, Lydia's a stalker.
She is.
She is a stalker in the making. Crazy. Oh, yeah. That girl is a stalker. You watch.
I don't know about all that, but it's just strange. Now, I didn't see the scene on the After Darks, because they usually don't show people sleeping in the After Dark. They kind of touch on them, see they're sleeping, and they move on. So I didn't ever see that scene where she gets in the bed and just stares at him.
Oh, yeah.
That would freak me hell out.
Yeah. What? But he's asleep. He don't know that.
He don't know. And I mean, that's a little sleeps hard. He don't know she's staring at him. I don't know. Who sleeps that hard?
Mm-mm-mm.
But, yeah, that was freaky. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I hope he's dreaming about me now. Come on. Come on now,
oh,
girl.
Lord. Okay, so then we get to the actual voting. That was interesting.
Well, the speeches.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I forgot about the speeches.
The speeches.
Poor little Jordan, though.
I know. What was she going
to
say?
I know. I mean, she had to go through this last week, so, you know, people were, like, on the boards and stuff later complaining about, you know, her speech and stuff, and like I say, you know, she has not always been my favorite, but get off of Jordan. You know, I thought she did a good job, because she was just up there last week.
I like Jordan.
You know, well, I have to say, Jordan is growing on me. And I like Jordan with Jeff. They are really cute together.
Yeah, so. I like Jordan just because, you know, she says what she feels. And she's like, look, I said the same thing last week.
Yep.
I want to be here. And she's a little bit awkward too, but it's more endearing. And she's got more, I don't know, it's just more endearing from her than it is Michelle. Because it's not weird.
Yeah. Well, but you have a feeling from Jordan that it's sincere.
Yeah.
Too. See.
And it's not like she's trying to fit in with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's just saying it, and that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when Casey stood up,
oh, yeah.
I was like, just the look on his face when he stood up, I was like, ah, here we go. Come on with it, Casey. What you gotta say? Come on with it. Don't hold back.
He was good, though.
It was good.
It was good.
Calling Ronnie a manipulative dorkopotamus. With a God complex.
Oh, Lord, that was good.
And calling Jesse a self-absorbed egomaniac with the collective IQ of a banana.
Oh, that was the best.
That was good. And Jesse's face,
best.
He starts turning red.
Oh, he got red.
He looks like he went, you know, he just looked mad. But I will say this for Jesse. You know, when Casey's evicted and he starts to walk out and he's making his parting comments to Ronnie and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse stands there. He walks up to him to listen to him. He doesn't say anything back.
He doesn't have to say anything back. His little pit bull is doing all that dang I'm talking.
That's true.
Natalie needs to shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Dang. Ooh.
She's awful.
And I am so glad. Well, first of all, we didn't say the vote. The vote was 7-1.
Right.
With Russell voting to keep Casey in, because Russell said, you know, I keep my promises, so I'm voting, you know, out Jordan. But when Casey is leaving and he's, you know, giving his parting comments, and he's trying to tell Jesse, you know, you burn me in the back and stuff, Jesse is not saying a daggum thing, but Natalie's mouth is going a mile a minute.
Now, I have a theory about why.
Dang. And Casey turned around, wait, what are you, his pit bull? Oh, that was sweet. That was so good.
That was a good comment.
That was so good. I know that's on YouTube.
I think Jesse is more in control of himself this season on purpose. I think he didn't say anything on purpose because we already know he's got a temper.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind going off.
Yeah.
But he's making a point of not doing that and not responding to that kind of thing.
Yep. I agree.
I think on purpose to keep himself in check and to not mm-hmm. throw his whole game off like he did in the first season.
That's true.
That was one of the reasons why people were wanting to get him out, is because he was so volatile.
That's true.
But what he's not thinking about is that Natalie's doing it for him and also putting a bad light on him.
On him and her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she just cannot control herself.
Oh, she needs to go.
She cannot even control herself.
I am so sick of her.
I want her to stay and be put on the block so that we can see the craziness that is going to ensue.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
She is on the block.
That'd be good.
Because she is going to go crazy.
Okay, so after that, we have the little announcement by Julie. Julie calls them all back into the living room, and she announces that the twist is the cliques are over, and everybody is now on their own. So they're all going, yay.
That's
good. Yeah. I'm liking that.
Well, that's good for some and not so good for us.
Well, I don't care who is good or not for. I'm glad it's over because it was a dumb, arbitrary putting together people, you know? So
I kind of liked it, though, at first. But I'm glad it's over because now they have one clique that's almost all the way gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not, you really can't do that anymore.
And then she also announced that there's going to be a further twist. And she says, you know, there is going to be one house guest who's going to be bestowed a superpower. A mystery power that's going to change the game. And this mystery power, they only have the next 2 weeks in order to use it. And the house guest who's going to get this mystery power will be chosen by America. And all the house guests groan.
Some were excited.
Yeah, well.
And there was a scene where I can see they were showing Jesse and Natalie. Mm-hmm. And Natalie was like, oh, pick me, America, pick me. And I'm
Please.
Thinking, hell no.
Hell no. They're not picking her or Jesse.
No.
Hopefully
I
not.
I hope not.
Let's hope America's not that sadistic.
No, because mm-hmm. I think people think like, I think a lot of people don't like it either when one side's got all the power.
Exactly.
All the time. So I'm hoping that people vote for Jeff, Jordan.
I'm hoping people vote for Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I've voted for Jeff like 5 times. And you know, let me take this opportunity right now for our fans that listen to our Big Brother podcast, that there was a message on the CBS website today and on the Joker's updates that if anyone voted already, that there was some kind of technical difficulty with the online votes. So they've thrown all of those online votes out and you have to go online and vote again. And you have until Tuesday, August 4th to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody has already voted, then as of today, you need to vote again because they had some kind of technical difficulty. So, you know, and their little... on the broadcast, it showed you that if you text message and vote that way, you can vote up to 10 times. And I'm here to tell you, you can vote up to 10 times online, too, because I've done it. I voted 10 times for Jeff because I want Jeff to get the power.
I hope it actually gets used.
Oh,
that's what I'm hoping.
If Jeff gets the power, it's going to be used.
Well, not if he doesn't need it to be. I mean, if he's the one that ends up in power, he doesn't need to use it. That's true.
But anyway, so that's the twist. And they're calling it the coup d'etat.
Yeah.
That's what Julie Chen's calling it, the coup d'etat. So then we get on to the HOH competition.
Yeah, and that was really cool.
Yeah, we knew it would be an endurance.
Well, I didn't, but
yeah,
you know.
I kind of figured it was.
So anyway, all the house guests, it's called, you know, since all the cliques are disbanded and Julie Chen mentioned that they graduated from high school.
That was cute.
They were all on a big graduation cap swing and
kind of like a carousel.
it was the castle, but it was supposed to be a graduation cap.
Uh-huh.
And they were all getting swung around in a circle. And they had the last one holding on to win.
Mm-hmm.
And the coolest part of the whole thing, though, was when they said, well, you don't want to forget your diploma. And this big, huge foam diploma comes, and they just all whack into it.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were whacking.
And, you know, that must be some stiff foam because it's whacking them.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So
I was like, okay.
And especially Shima and Natalie because they're smaller, small. See.
Yeah, and I immediately thought, well, the girls are probably all going to be out because that thing was whacking them pretty hard.
It was whacking them.
Pretty, mm-hmm. And then they started, of course, rain. So that's going to make it even worse.
And right before the broadcast ends, and you know how she says, see you next week, and it's still showing them twirling around. Natalie has on a headband, and she hits that diploma, and it knocks the headband off. Well, so it's whacking her.
I was surprised that Jeff's hat was staying on as long as it was staying on.
I know. His hat was still on. So, okay, well, that really ends is the end of our regular Big Brother 11 podcast, but we have a spoiler section. So if you don't want to know what happened on the After Dark on eviction day, then you need to skip ahead or, you know, stop listening because this is now going to be our spoiler section. I'll give you 2 seconds to either stop or whatever. Okay, now here we go. Okay, so, you know, on the After Darks, they are still having the contest. These people have hung on that thing for a long time. But there are some things that we find out before we find out who wins HOH. And that is, Kevin was the very first person to fall off. I don't know if he did it on purpose or whatever, but he was the first person to fall off. And, you know, there were 5 graduation presents sitting on this table. And the first 5 individuals who fell off could select a present. Well, Kevin was the first one, so he picks a box. And when he opens it up, he got the $5,000.
Yay!
So, yay, Kevin. So he won the $5,000. Now, I'm not sure what order that Jordan fell, but when Jordan fell, she also picked a box. And what Jordan won was she won the power to pick the have-nots for the week.
Oh!
That's
awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's what Jordan won.
But that's probably going to be hard for her because she's so nice.
Nice. But kind-hearted. Ronnie, Lydia, Natalie, Jordan, and Michelle, they all fall off. And the only girl left is Shima, of all people.
Really?
Little Shima. And evidently, both Shima and Michelle have thrown up several times while they're on the thing. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
That's nasty.
It's pretty gross. But you know, Shima finally falls off. Then all you have is Russell and Jeff.
Uh-oh.
And they are in it to win it. And, you know, they're spinning around. They're putting the cold rain on them and stuff. And so Jeff says to Russell, okay, we the last two. Let's do rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to fall off first. And Russell says, I'm not, no. He says, I could stay here all night. I've done this before. So I'll be up here all night. So in the meantime, Big Brother has provided pizza for the house guests. So everybody who fell goes inside and eating pizza. So it's only Jeff and Russell are outside. Then the house guests come out and they, you know, encourage them and all this stuff. And then Jeff is the one that asks all the house guests to go back in the house so he can talk to Russell.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure why he wanted them. I guess he didn't want them to
hear. Yeah, because he's trying to make deals.
So
that makes sense.
Right. When they leave, then Jeff says to him, he says, okay. He says, look, if you can you guarantee me that Ronnie goes home? And Russell says, I can do that. And he says, can you guarantee that you will not be put up either me or Jordan? And Russell says, I give you my word, man. I will not put up you or Jordan, and Ronnie will be going out the door this week. And so Jeff says, okay, man, and Jeff falls off. So Russell stays up there just a couple little seconds, and then, you know, they help him down. So Russell is HOH.
I don't think I would have made that deal if I was Jeff.
Well, you know. I would
have stayed on there.
Okay, so.
But I did hear that Russell kept telling him he wanted to get a letter from his father.
Yes.
Because his father went into surgery. And
one thing I did forget, and that is before Jeff even made the offer, and him and Russell were just, you know, kind of talking, Russell let Jeff know that he was the person that voted for Casey to stay. Because he gave Casey his word in week one that he would not vote against him, and he kept his word.
Right.
So Jeff feels comfortable that Russell's going to keep his word. But anyway, so Shima and Jesse are trying to help Russell, you know, and everything. Jesse is immediately kissing butt.
Of course.
You know, it's a baby. Okay. Then, once they're in the house, Jordan announces that, you know, she is not going to include, she's going to put everybody's name in a hat and draw names like that for the have-nots. And she is not going to include Michelle, Ronnie, or Shima because they have already been on slot for
the past week.
Yeah, for the past week, and she didn't think that was fair. And everybody else says, oh, that's fine. So she picks.
And she also says she doesn't want to include Jeff or Russell.
That's not how it goes. That is not how it goes. What she did was, she can't include Russell because he's the HOH. So, what she did is she picked Kevin, Natalie, and Jeff's name. The other house guest said, oh, you know, Jeff should have been exempt. Don't make Jeff do that because he hung up there Russell did.
Right.
And so the whole house agrees, all the people that were there, they agree and say, no, pick another name. And so she says, well, I was just trying to be fair. And they said, no, pick another name. So it wasn't Jordan's decision. It was the other people. Mm-hmm. And so Jordan picks another name, and it's Jesse.
Yep.
Jesse has a royal temper tantrum. He is upset that he's going to be on slop for a week.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's mad. I'm telling you. It's just, it was great. So anyway, so then later Jordan calls everybody into the kitchen, and she announces that who the have-nots are, which is Jesse, Natalie, and Kevin. And Natalie gets mad because then Jordan has the second part of her announcement, which is that the have-nots start immediately. Natalie is hot because usually it starts the whole next day.
Right.
She's hot. So her and Jesse both are mad. They spend the whole rest of the after dark fussing. Fussing and complaining about being on slop, and it's starting immediately.
I also thought that it was down to Lydia and Jesse.
No. What happened was Lydia says, look, if it's that much to you, I'll be a have not. And all the other house guests said, no, she drew his name fair and square because Lydia was going to take it over for Jesse.
Right. I know.
Please. That girl is sick.
That is sick.
But if it wasn't for the other house guests saying, uh-uh, no. And then Jesse probably was starting to feel stupid. So he said, no. He said, hey, she drew my name fine. Mm-hmm. You know, but no. I'm glad. Ooh, I can't wait to see Jesse suffer this week. Because he's going to be mad.
We'll see if he's going to be able to control his temper throughout all that.
So who do you think Russell's going to put up?
I have no idea.
I think Russell.
I mean, Russell, I don't know. I really can't decide. I'm kind of worried that he won't honor what he told Jeff.
I think he's going to honor what he's... I think Russell's going to honor it, though.
And since so many people are doing this stupid backdoor plan, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to actually put up who he wants or if he'll...
I think Ronnie's worried, though.
If Russell was smart, if he was really playing the game, he would nominate Jesse and Ronnie. And if one of them got off, put up Natalie.
He's not going to do that. I bet you he's not going to do that.
No.
Because he thinks, okay, Russell is not aware that other house guests, whether it be Casey or Kevin or Lydia or anybody, keeps running to Jesse telling them things way before this week that Russell supposedly said or did.
Right.
And so Russell, from Russell's point of view, he's in like Flynn with Jesse and Natalie. But Jesse and Natalie have conversations with each other where nobody else is listening, where, you know, they just using Russell. They want to get Russell out as soon as possible because Russell's going to turn on them. That's what they think. So,
but if Russell's smart, he needs to take out his competition. And his competition, really, for right now, should be Ronnie, Jesse, Natalie, because they're all in cahoots.
Well, if he lives up to his agreement, and I believe he will live up to his agreement with Jeff, he will not put up Jeff, he will not put up Jordan, and some kind of way he will be sending Ronnie out of the house.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if Russell's strong enough. I think Russell talks a good game. Mm-hmm. It's really not a good game. You can kind of see through it.
I know what you mean.
But he talks all this cash. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he'll be man enough or strong enough or I don't know what. I don't think he'll want to tip his hand this early and what he wants to do. And he'll probably do an easy one like Lydia or Kevin.
Yeah, probably.
Or change it up and actually do Jordan and Jeff again. I hope not.
I hope not. I'm tired of seeing Jordan on the blog.
Excuse me.
They need to give her a break. They need to give her a break. You know, and just let her be and let her play the game.
Yeah. Or he should put Ronnie and Natalie.
Yeah.
And if one of them if one of them gets off, then put Ronnie.
And just tell Natalie
put Jesse.
If you're concerned, say, hey, you the pawn. It's your turn to be the pawn. You the pawn.
Right.
And that's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, that's a good idea.
But I don't think he's going to do that either because he's going to be too... I don't know if he's going to want that battle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
don't have a good feel for him yet because he's kind of... Sometimes I feel like Russell is crazy.
Well, I'm anxious to see his pictures, his HOH room, to see his pictures, to see, what his letter says and, you know, stuff about him. So... Because I want to see.
Well, I don't know. He just...
And then we're forgetting about the little coup d'etat person.
Right. Well, it just depends on who America chooses.
Yeah, it depends on who they choose.
But, you know, if he does go back, see, that's where he's got to be careful, too. Mm-hmm. But see, they don't have any concept of what America or what people feel about them in that house.
That's true.
They all think that they're the favorites or, you know, and nobody knows really what people think about them in the house. So they might think, America probably loves me and loves what I'm doing in the game.
Well, Ronnie thinks it'd be him or Jordan. Kevin thinks Ronnie will be America's choice. And he's telling everybody in the house that. Yeah. And, everybody else seems to think that Jordan will be America's choice because people tend to go for the underdog, and she's been the underdog now for a couple of weeks. And then they're all saying comments like, but yeah, you know, America, don't give it to Jordan because she wouldn't know what to do with it.
Oh.
Oh, man. I tell you, they're being mean. I mean, they don't say that to her face, but, you know, I'm thinking, you know what, I hope Jeff gets the power, but even if America voted for Jordan, I bet you Jordan knows exactly what to do.
Of course. If her and Jeff are up, she'll change it up. That's the only scenario I could see her or Jeff using it for.
And one thing I did not point out about the little America's Choice coup d'etat person, of which I just thought of it when you said that, and that is whoever America selects, they cannot tell anyone else in the house or else they lose the power.
Right.
So they cannot tell. Like, so if Jordan got it, she can't tell Jeff or nobody.
Nope.
Or else
they can't use it.
Or else she can't use it. And they can, and they have to use it right before the live eviction.
That's going
to
be good.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
If somebody uses it.
They better not be like Survivor and never use that little immunity idol. You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been an interesting week. So I'm.
It was pretty good for it to be Jesse's second week, and I'm tired of, you know, Jesse getting HOH.
Yeah.
But this week is probably going to be a lot better.
We'll see, though.
Yeah,
we'll
I think
see
so.
Because you know how people always still band together.
Well, but yeah, we can only hope.
Okay, well, I wanted to mention that we had some feedback this week on our iTunes Big Brother page that, wasn't that flattering, but I think I'm taking it that it was like constructive criticism.
Okay.
It was from ZH1085, And they say, our podcast needs a lot of work, and gave us 2 stars.
Okay.
And their comment is, one, update more often, which that's a valid request because between our first and second episode, it was about 1.5 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Two, get the...
Yeah, but you were sick.
Yeah, I was sick, but we were still trying to get our podcast out. That's so true, we could have been a little...
But as you pointed out, when you have bronchitis, you can't actually talk.
True.
So, Okay. And what's the other suggestion?
Number two, they suggest that we get the live feeds.
Okay, well, see. Now, I got something to say about that. Yeah, that might be true, but I'm cheap. I'm not paying for no live feeds.
No, I'm not.
Because I can read just fine. So I can go and read all the different little updates. And there are lots of different sources. And there are some people who sit and do updates kind of like whatever that Twitter is. See, I don't tweet, so I don't know. But evidently, when people tweet, it's just everything that's happening. So, there are other ways to get the information. But the main reason I don't have the live feeds is because I'm too cheap.
And the main reason I don't have the live feeds is because I wouldn't get anything else done.
Well, that's another thing.
Because I had it I think it was 2 seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the one with Dick.
Evil Dick. Yeah. That's right.
And I watched that, at the first half of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it so much, I didn't get anything else done. And I said, I'm never doing that again. And of course, that was a season that I had a lot of trouble with. So I, almost quit watching Big Brother for good after that one.
Evil Dick will do that too.
But I decided I wasn't going to let him ruin my experience of Big Brother because I've watched it since the first season.
That's true.
Anyway, so we have Showtime. So I watch the After Dark and I do read the updates, but thank you for your suggestion. Number three was get your names and timeline straight.
Oh, that's for you.
That's for me because in the last episode, again, I was not very prepared. I hadn't, last week, I hadn't been watching the feeds. I hadn't been really paying attention as well to the updates. And so I was all over the place in the last episode. So that is a very valid comment. You were kind of off on 1 or 2 items too.
No, Sister Jay is always prepared.
I was off on the timeline. You were off on the names.
I know. I'm terrible with names sometimes.
Yes.
And a lot, sometimes, I know a person like professionally in my, professional day job. And, I just talk somewhere in the conversation where I don't ever have to use their name because I've forgotten what their name is.
I know, shoot.
Yeah, so, that's my bad.
And, okay, his or her last one is 4. Stop stepping all over each other. That was another valid point because...
Why?
What? Why?
Why would that be a valid point? That's what we do.
Well, but we were in... When I listened back to it again, we were talking over each other a lot.
Oh, really? Well, that's what we do.
Well, yeah.
Because we sisters.
But we can't let someone finish a thought before we break in.
And why would I want to do that?
Yeah, like you're doing now.
Oh, man. Okay.
So thank you, ZH.
Well, thanks for listening, ZH.
And caring enough to give us a
to
comment.
To send us some email, I guess.
No, it wasn't email.
Oh, yeah.
Put
email.
A comment on
comment, yes.
The podcast page because
yes,
you had very valid points on all except for the live feeds. I don't know what that would help us with, but...
Yeah. I'm not getting them. These people are boring enough on the After Dark sometimes.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, sometimes they are.
I enjoy it when I get to
They don't fight enough.
What?
They don't fight enough.
Oh, well, they got it all out the first couple weeks then. If anyone else would like to do a comment or let us know your opinion about Big Brother or us... As we talk about Big Brother, you can comment on the iTunes, of course, or you can send us an email at sistaspeak@gmail.com. We also have a voicemail line, which is 972-692-7341. Or you can go to our website, sistasinterview.com, and click on the Big Brother link and add a comment there.
Yep.
And we would love to hear from you. criticize us, tell us you love us, which we prefer. let us know what you think about these crazy house guests, and we would love to hear from you. Okay, I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next week.